Okay, let's do word association now. I say Smithsonian. You say what? Museum of American History, Air and Space, the National Gallery. It turns out a Washington Post investigation finds the Smithsonian has a grisly collection long hidden. It's a collection of human brains held for more than a century. We are talking more than 200 brains, most taken from deceased indigenous and black people without consent. The brains were gathered for a prominent researcher and anthropologist who believed in eugenics and white supremacy. And they're part of a collection of more than 30,000 human bones and body parts still held at the Smithsonian's Natural History Museum. Let's talk now to Nicole Dunca. She's on the investigation team at the Washington Post. Hello, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
The Smithsonian, as your team reports, has been holding more than 200 brains, most taken without the consent from indigenous and black people after their deaths. And how they got these brains raises troubling moral questions. Just as one example, can you tell us the story of Mary Sara's brain? She died in 1933 of tuberculosis.
Yeah, so what we know about Mary Sara is that she was a member of the Sami people. She was indigenous to Norway. And so from our reporting, we know that the doctor that was caring for her at the time actually offered her brain to Alice Herdlicka, that anthropologist at the Smithsonian. And he was interested in her brain and collected it for what was called a racial brain collection. We were actually able to find the relatives of Mary Sara, and they were absolutely shocked that this ever happened. We met her cousin, who was born about 12 years after Mary Sara died. And she had photos of her in her home. She had mementos from her cousin. And she had just assumed that Mary had been buried in Seattle and nothing had happened to her. But when we told her that her brain was taken, they really felt like it was a violation. And now they're seeking to get that brain back so it can be buried with Mary's body in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, I do want to come back to Mary Sara and her family. But just to understand what was happening here, these brains were being collected at the request of, and you mentioned his name, Alice Herdlicka. He is at the center of this, renowned anthropologist at the Smithsonian. What did he believe as far as eugenics and white supremacy that was the basis of some of this research?
So what we found about Alice Herdlicka is that he was a big believer in eugenics, and we know that he did have a worldview that said white people were superior and they were better than Asians and Native Americans, and that he would say black people were the problem with America. He was writing to people sometimes saying, you know, white brains are better than black brains, but he wouldn't be able to actually name any of his research. He was called an expert on race, and sometimes members of the public would say, can you look at my child and my adopted child and see what her race actually is? And in one case, he was called upon by the Justice Department to actually determine who was actually Native American for the purposes of land rights for the Chippewa people. So this was somebody who was highly respected across the country at the time. And we could see that he really did believe white people were superior and had these big ties to eugenics.
Which brings us back to the story of Mary Sara. After she died, her physician, Charles Firestone, sent it to Washington, as you described, sent it to the Smithsonian. And here's some sound from the cousin you mentioned. This is her cousin, Martha Sara Jack.
I want it known, you know, what happened. I want Dr. Firestone to be revealed for what he did. And I want the Smithsonian to know that what they do is not right. All the families deserve an apology, and they deserve to have the remains shipped back to them.
Nicole, what more did you learn about the reaction of the families, learning about the brains of their loved ones, I'm sure in some cases for the first time?
They were shocked. I think it's obviously a really disturbing thing to hear, especially within that family. They just had no idea. We actually spoke to some relatives who didn't know Mary Sara had existed, but felt very strongly about the fact that the Smithsonian at the time had done this to their family. Mm. And there are laws right now that mandate that museums across the country repatriate the remains of Native American, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian communities. But there aren't any federal laws right now that mandate the remains of other communities. And that's where Mary Sara's family actually fell. She was Sami, but she wasn't a federally recognized tribe here. So there was no law that was mandating the Smithsonian to reach out to her family and tell them that they had their brain. So there are maybe about 15,000 remains at the Smithsonian right now that are kind of in limbo. There's no law that's mandating that the museum actually has, the Natural History Museum actually has to notify people and allow them to know that they can repatriate these remains.
And what about an apology and the other things these families are asking for? Has the Smithsonian kind of given these families what they've asked for?
We spoke to the Secretary of the Smithsonian, Lonnie Bunch III, and he has issued an apology, a public apology. And in our interview, he was saying these are things that would never happen now in our institution, and we really have to recognize the racism that fueled some of these collections. But I've also talked to families, and they're hoping for a personal apology. We actually talked to somebody whose young relative, a 10-year-old, had his brain taken. It was a Tlingit family from Alaska, and that brain was repatriated in 2007, and that memory still really hurts the family, and they're waiting for apologies from the Smithsonian. But to the Smithsonian's credit, they are saying, you know, we are creating a task force that will be looking at some of these human remains. You know, after we started reporting, they did restrict access and collection to human remains, and they have, in 2022, they actually had created a policy that said they were going to develop a policy for ethical returns, which was mean really formally allowing museums to give back different items that were taken without consent.
You know, we received a statement from the Smithsonian that research on the brain collection, they say, appears to have ended when Herdlicka retired in the early 1940s. Why, as far as you know, has the Smithsonian held onto these brains for so long?
I think we've talked to some people about this, and they do feel like they are in a difficult position because these are locked away and hidden because they don't want to put them on display. From what we've seen, they've never been put on display, but they have to keep them in case someone does want to repatriate them. And they're saying, we're doing the best we can with the staff that we have. And because they, I think they really do want to see these go back. The secretary has said, you know, it is his goal to return as many human remains as possible if they were taken without consent. Right now, they've only returned four brains from at least 268 that have been collected over the years. And right now, they have 255 that are still in storage.
Finally, Nicole, I want to ask you, is there a person, a voice, a life story from this reporting project that really speaks to you? So, a life we haven't talked about?
My colleague Claire Healy and I talked to a lot of people for this story, but the one that really stood out to me personally was one of a woman named Maura, and it was a Filipino woman who came to St. Louis for the 1904 World's Fair. And that was actually a World's Fair in St. Louis where about 1,200 Filipinos from the Philippines were brought to be put on display in a Philippine exposition. So what some people would call a human zoo. What happened is that some of those people died, and Herdlicka actually took some of their brains in an autopsy and then had some sent to Washington, D.C. And records suggest that her cerebellum at one point was in the collection that we're reporting about. It was later cremated, but three other brains from Filipinos who died at the fair are still held at the National Museum of Natural History. And for me, I am Filipino American. This was a really important story for people to tell, because there are so many people who don't know about the 1904 World's Fair. And a lot of people don't necessarily know the history between the U.S. and the Philippines. And in terms of other updates from that, we know now that the Philippines is currently talking to the Smithsonian and seeing if they can repatriate those remains.
We've been talking to Nicole Dunca, an investigative reporter with the Washington Post, and her team's reporting on the Smithsonian Brain Research Collection continues through the week. Nicole, thank you.
Thank you so much.